everyone. This is Abby Alcox with Badgerland Journal, and we have a special guest with us for our yearly Christmas time episode. Say hello, Dad.
Hello, everyone, and Merry Christmas.
You're our most popular guest. You always come in on... It's almost like we record these on Christmas or like right around Christmas.
That's the only time you're home.
That is incorrect. But...
we should have Santa Claus on next year.
Oh, yes. Yes. We do have an in with the Santa Claus.
Well, I went to high school with him.
Yeah. You know, it might weirdly sound like my dad, though. That's because they're friends. But I could send a picture to everyone to verify that it's absolutely not my father on the podcast. But today's episode is not actually Christmas themed. Sorry, guys. But it is a listener request. So shout out to Hadley. She actually sent us a very nice message and gave me permission to read it. So she said, hello, just wanted to reach out and say thank you so much for creating this podcast. I absolutely love learning about Wisconsin history. I haven't listened to all of your podcasts yet. I just finished the attempted assassination of Teddy Roosevelt, which is a great episode if you guys have not listened to it. And she said, thank you so much for taking the time to share these stories. And Hadley had a great suggestion for the podcast today. She suggested we talk about the history of geography in Wisconsin, because we have some pretty cool geographical features going on in the state, and kind of learning how those were formed and kind of where they are.
A lot of varied landscape in the state of Wisconsin.
Unlike a lot of the Midwest, which is just like cornfields. We have a lot of diversity going on. So yeah, that's what we're going to be covering today. If you have future ideas that you want me to cover, you should send me an email or message me on Facebook and let us know. And then you too can get a shout out if you say a very nice comment. If you say mean comments, I probably won't read them out loud on the podcast. But if you have a nice one, I will absolutely read that out on the podcast. But, so should we get into it?
Sure.
All right, so just to give everyone an idea, because I think most of you have never been to Wisconsin, obviously, you know, but have never seen the shape of Wisconsin before, but just some general geography.
But there may be parts of Wisconsin that people haven't been to.
Yes.
If you lived in southeastern Wisconsin.
You may not have been up to Door County or...
You may not have been in the northwestern part of the state. The Apostle Islands and Bayfield and that area.
Yeah. And just to be clear, we're not covering all of the different geographical features in the state, because there's a lot, so I tried to hit some high points. But if you think about it, Wisconsin, our border to the east is Lake Michigan. To the west, our border is the Mississippi River. Until you get up to, like, the northwest part, and then that becomes a random line we drew. If you want to know, we have a podcast on where that line got drawn.
Actually, it's the Mississippi to the St. Croix.
Yeah.
And then
a random a random line that we pulled. And then to our bottom is a line that was created by surveyors separating us from Illinois.
Thank God.
We didn't want to be a part of them anyways. But that line mainly runs through prairies, so it's kind of more flat. Maybe some more of those cornfields I was mentioning earlier.
It's where the Flatlanders live.
Flatlanders?
Yeah. People who live on the prairie are Flatlanders.
Ah. And then more towards the southwest part of the state by Madison, you start turning into hills, which we'll talk about those hills, because they're more than just some nice rolling hills going on there. But the line to separate us from Illinois happened in 1932. The other line that divides us from the UP up to the north, that happened in 1847. Did I just say 1932? Did I say 1832?
I don't know.
Illinois, we got separated from Illinois in 1832, just to clarify, in case I just messed up my words.
Well, but the Menominee River also splits the UP from Wisconsin.
See, that was in my research. So you know more, because you've lived in the state how many more years? 30-some years longer than I have?
Yes. So, part of the dividing line between the UP and
In Wisconsin,
is the Menominee River. Up between Menominee and Marinette, that's what's set.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And Marinette, and crossed over to Florence County.
Which I really should know, because I'm still doing that research on the Peshtigo Fire. And Marinette and Menominee are kind of important to Peshtigo.
Right. So we have a lot of natural boundaries.
Yeah.
And a couple of man-made ones.
Can't we use the natural ones until the man-made they run out, and then we use the man-made ones to kind of explore our way around. But to the east, so where we have Lake Michigan, it's a very kind of low, sandy, it's marshy areas, which actually makes it hard to have ports that can handle larger ships. So we have, that's what it said, which makes sense. I mean, there's not a ton of large port cities other than like Manitowoc, Milwaukee.
Oh, you get to Milwaukee. Yeah, and then up through Sheboygan and stuff, like you said, it's a shallower area. Sturgeon Bay, yeah. When you get up to Door County and you have the rock.
We're going to talk about.
And so Sturgeon Bay and further north to Door County, there's several.
But it makes sense. A lot of the beaches that are on Lake Michigan are pretty. You can wait out quite a while before you're underwater, fully underwater.
Yes, it's very shallow on that side of the...
And that's not to say that man hasn't found ways to include ports into those areas, because you can do so in a kind of by digging out or extending out the port. But yeah, and then to the western borders, we have a lot of bluffs overlooking rivers, including like deep ravines, so it's a lot more kind of rock formations going on.
In the southwestern part, it's a lot more rock.
So you went to school in Menominee, which is kind of more northwest.
Menominee, Wisconsin, not Menominee, Michigan.
Yes. Where UW-Stout is.
Yes. And the Chippewa River, there's a lot of waterways that come in there also. And obviously the Mississippi has been used, you know, for transportation in there. But it's the further south you go,
the more rocky.
The rockier, the more bluffs and stuff you're going to see in the southern half along the Mississippi as opposed to the northern half.
Which makes sense because in the north, pretty much we just have very large, dense forests, which maybe aren't quite as dense as they once were before the paper mills came in. And like there used to be great, great white pines.
Fun fact. There are more trees growing in North America now than there were before Europeans were here.
Because the paper mills need to keep planting trees to keep their paper going?
Yes. However, now they grow in nice straight lines. And you are right. The pines in northern Wisconsin, the original forest had stumps that were 3 to 4 feet in diameter.
Well,
huge, huge pines. Numerically, there are more, and they are replaced obviously on a regular basis, but they are not the size of what was growing in northwestern Wisconsin. Yeah.
I know, and again, I know I've been teasing this for a while now, but the Peshtigo Fire, because I know once there's still some stumps in Peshtigo from trees that burnt down, and like you can't fit your arms around it. It's like that big of a tree that like you can't get halfway around this stump.
Yeah, there are enormous pines growing in northern Wisconsin.
So to the north, you also have some wetlands. There's a lot of lacks, I think a lot by like the Lac du Flambeau. Yes. Lots of lacks, forests with dense, very dense to the north. North central Wisconsin. Do you like how I put ventral Wisconsin instead of central Wisconsin in that outline? No one ever hired me to spell things. It won't end well. But one of the things about Wisconsin is we have lots of rivers. So you have the Mississippi, you have the Fox, you have the Wisconsin, Menominee. So what that does is it creates very rich soil because of the different nutrients that the rivers kind of deposit. And there's because of the forest, there's plenty of game. So it's just a very good place for settlements for farming. So most of the rivers flow north to south. Although, doesn't the Fox River flow south to north?
Yes. Fox River flows north.
Which is interesting.
Yes. A little bit unusual compared to most rivers.
Because I don't know how often that happens, but the Nile River is the same way.
Yes. There are, I'm not sure how many, but there are far fewer that flow north.
Yeah.
Worldwide than there are that flow south.
And so then we also have the Wisconsin River, which kind of splits the state in half up until it hits Portage, and that's when it starts flowing into the Mississippi towards the west. So those are kind of just the geographical features. Now we're going to talk about the kind of weird things that are in our state. Weird, unique, cool, all of the above. So we have the driftless area to begin with. So we talked about that kind of southwest Wisconsin is much more rocky, has more like land formations. And this is because of the glaciers. Or actually not because of the glaciers, I guess. But much of the landforms that were created in Wisconsin come from the glaciers coming in from Canada, melting, and they're coming down. They're kind of flattening out a lot of the different areas, except they missed the driftless area in Wisconsin.
So the driftless area extends Wisconsin, Minnesota, into Illinois and Iowa. In Wisconsin, it starts in the north, right around where Highway 29 hits the Minnesota border.
Yep.
And south from there.
Which actually makes sense, because Brianna went to...
All the way down into Illinois.
Brianna goes to River Falls, and I visited her, and there's, like, a lot of, like, kind of rocky... You kind of climb around. Although maybe that's not that unique. But that's around Highway 29, because I take 29 all the way to her. But, like, these glaciers aren't, like, just, like, small ice things that are flipped. Like, they're miles wide. So they're flattening most of the state, kind of filling in different valleys, but also flattening any kind of rock formation. One of the last ice sheets to come through was 17,000 to 15,000 years ago. I saw competing claims, you know, what's 2,000 years to a glacier? But it traveled from Canada towards Ohio and the Missouri River. And so southwest Wisconsin, there's increasing like kind of hilliness to it. Because it was untouched by the glaciers. So if you guys have ever been to like Wisconsin Dells, Devil's Lake, Baraboo Hills, this is part of the driftless area. And these were actually considered very important sites for like Native Americans, which makes sense. Actually, a lot of the different features we talk about today are kind of increasingly important to the Native Americans because of kind of their importance and their statue. You know what I mean?
And if you haven't been to, like, for example, Devil's Lake State Park, you should go there. There are huge rock cliffs. In fact, in the summertime, you will find people rock climbing and rappelling down the rock faces and stuff. Things that you will not see in other parts of Wisconsin. Along the Mississippi River, by La Crosse, there's large bluffs with hiking trails that you can walk up onto the bluffs along the... I highly encourage people to go to that part of the state if you're not familiar with it. It's extremely pretty.
I will post some pictures on our Facebook and Instagram page to make sure everyone can get an appreciation for what we're looking at. But also, for me personally, my dad brought my brother backpacking there constantly, but never brought me. So the first time I think I was in Wisconsin Dells for an archery tournament, and I was looking at, like, the hotels have, like, different... like tours you can go on, and I was looking at the rock formations and I went, dang, I think I just want to come here for the land structure, not even the amusement parks that's going on. Like, these rock formations are cool, but alas, my dad never takes me anywhere nice, you know. That's not true, but yes, highly recommend. It's on my list of things once I'm done with grad school and have time to mess around. But there's also formations in the eastern part of the state also to do with the glaciers. So to the east we have the Kettle Moraine, or there's the Kettle Moraine Forest.
The Kettles, right.
But then there's the Kettles. So about 20,000 years ago, around the same time, we have these ice sheets. Actually, two ice sheets met. So it wasn't just one ice sheet coming down and flattening. You had two that kind of converged on each other. And so that pressure started chipping off these ice blocks, which created the Kettles. But so it went through Oconomowoc Lake in Kewaunee County. So it's kind of started at Oconomowoc, went north. also went near Green Bay, Lake Winnebago. This wasn't necessarily a covering everything. It kind of has, well, part of it's the land has been cultivated, flattened, so you don't see all of the kettles anymore. But also, it kind of spit off the kettles where it was. But when these two large ice sheets met, ice broke off and it was buried into the ground, creating these glacial deposits or tills. And so when the ice blocks melted, they created kettles, so like big kind of divots.
Holes.
Holes in the ground.
Pot-shaped bellies in the ground.
So some are relatively small, you know, not too big, but some are 100 to 200 feet deep. So they created a nice divot into the ground. Other kettles were formed when glaciers picked up the rock and gravel. So when the glaciers came through, oftentimes they weren't just like leaving a flat surface. They were picking up the ground soil and kind of depositing it other places. So they also, including the kind of kettles, you also have these like hills that were formed as well when they would deposit a bunch of land in different areas. So it can create ridges, so the kettle moraine topography includes parallel steep ridges, so ridges that run parallel to one another, and then conical hills and plains. So Holy Hill is a conical hill that was created by the kettle moraines. Did you know that?
I did not know that that was what it formed it, but Holy Hill, for anyone who is not familiar with that, is... near, what's it near?
Hartford
area, yeah. I guess would be not too far off Highway 41, which is an enormous, like she said, spiral peak hill with a...
And it's had miracles, which yeah, I guess is
miracles
what...
Miracles have been performed there.
Which is what I'm saying. I don't think Native Americans were off base to like look to some of these like grand geographic structures as like... some importance, you know, even more modern, I don't know, Abrahamic religions have connections, because supposedly there's crutches from people who have been healed going up to Holy Hill. I might have to do a podcast. Also, there's some haunting at Holy Hill. There's been some werewolf sightings at Holy Hill. So, like, I could do a whole thing on random things that have occurred there.
That may be a future podcast. The Kettle Moraine State Forest is also... down in that area. We're fortunate in Wisconsin to have a lot of public land set mm-hmm. aside, and there's a lot of hiking trails and things in the Kettle Moraine Forest as well that you can hike and see the typography of the land in that area.
Yeah. So a lot of lakes that are kind of in eastern Wisconsin also have a lot of... are formed by those kettles, so water just filled in. So... near Oconomowoc area, every lake except Pewaukee Lake, which Pewaukee Lake apparently is a pre-glacial valley. But the other lakes that are kind of in that southeastern part of Wisconsin are filled in from...
they're filled, kettles filled with water.
Yep. So then much of the land, so over 50% of the kettles were cleared. Some areas as high as like 60 to 70%. But in 1937 is when you start seeing this like kind of push to create preservation of these forest areas, and so you get Kettle Moraine Forest, as Dad was mentioning, is developed and protected, so you can no longer destroy the kettles. And then actually a lot of times which I also did an episode on that, Indian burial mounds are also near these sites as well.
And if you haven't heard that podcast, you should go back and listen to that one as well.
Yes, you should listen to all my podcasts. I'm the best podcast ever, clearly. All right, so then that brings us to the Niagara Escarpment, which is also in eastern Wisconsin, but we're going further north. And so...
Did we miss something? Well, no, but the Niagara Escarpment is not just a land structure in Wisconsin. It's... If you get out your national map... and look at it, the Niagara Escarpment runs actually all the way, I think, from Illinois
yep.
to Niagara Falls. It goes up.
Into Canada.
It basically is Door County and the peninsula of Wisconsin up into Canada and runs all the way. So it's like an enormous piece of limestone
Yes.
That runs from Illinois to Niagara Falls.
The difference, though, you're correct. But the thing is it goes underground at some point. You know what I mean? Like, so I think to Lake Winnebago, you can still kind of see the ridge, in theory. Like, it's still above the land. But then it goes underground. So it still exists. Like, that limestone formation is still there, and it goes further south, probably into Illinois. But you just can't see it really at that point. So they say it ends in Lake Winnebago, Door County area because of that. But yeah, it's kind of this big, well, it's the remnants of a basin is what it is that kind of formed the Great Lakes. We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. So limestone cliff that runs from Lake Winnebago to Ontario, Canada, dipping back south to the Niagara Falls. Part of the escarpment is underwater, so it still exists, but it's in the lake, like it's covered by the water. So it's near the Georgian Bay to Manitoulin Islands. Did I say that right? Probably not.
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with those islands.
I think those are up near Michigan, but as well as the western part of Lake Michigan. But basically, it's a 1,000-mile-long cliff. And it's one of the longest continuous corridors, natural corridors, in Ontario, Canada. And it includes 61 waterfalls, cliffs, and vistas. So, obviously, the biggest one is going to be Niagara Falls, where you have the water coming. I don't know what river that is, but the water is coming. So, the cliff that it's creating, the waterfall, is part of the escarpment.
Yeah.
And these are actually really great agricultural regions. It produces very diverse plants and animals. And we'll talk about why that is. But so these are great actually for farming, home to great white cedars. So again, these very old, very large trees form Door County, and is the reason the Great Lakes exist. Because like I said, it kind of forms the basin that created, that was created. It's like, it wasn't created by the glaciers, but, like, how we get the Great Lakes is when the glaciers come in and kind of, like, divide this basin up and create little, like, sections in it.
Okay.
But the basin was pre-existing the glaciers. So, yeah, it used to be a circular basin 400 million years ago. The glaciers helped to expose the edges much later. And so, specifically in Door County, the glaciers split the Door Peninsula. So, when it hit the Niagara Escarpment, apparently it broke the, like, glacier in half. So one half went down and formed the Bay of Green Bay, and then the other one kind of went along where Lake Michigan is.
Okay.
There is over 200 rare plants and animal species, and I think this source I got from Wisconsin, that is formed by the escarpment. And so there are jagged limestone cliffs, bluffs, hillsides. So if you've ever been, Dad has taken me, I will verify in this one, Dad has taken me to the Door Peninsula State Parks, which are beautiful.
Newport State Park. We camped right on the sand dunes on the beach.
Yeah.
So you've camped on the escarpment.
And we've camped on Peninsula, although we've camped in the campgrounds. We weren't on the beach or anything. Did we go to Pottawatomie?
I think we've been to Pottawatomie as well, yes.
But you can see these, like, large cliffs. I mean, I ran a half marathon at Peninsula.
A couple years ago.
I ran up the cliff multiple times. It's not fun going uphill, I will say that. But beautiful views. All of those state parks, Door Bluffs, Headlands. Also a park that you can see the escarpment. I mean, the entire park is the escarpment, because Door County is pretty much made up of the limestone that is the escarpment. But the escarpment has a unique environment because it influences weather patterns, even miles away from the cliff. So even if you're not, like, right where the cliff stone is, it has an impact on the weather. It cools. And so when water seeps through the rocks, it creates this, like, micro-environment. And so that's why these species that aren't found other places can be found on the escarpment. And that's not just for Wisconsin. Like, I think Wisconsin has some unique plants, but that's true into Canada and in Niagara Falls. That just has this effect. I'm not a scientist. Sorry, guys. I can't go into it more than that. But there's evidence that these sites were important to the Paleo-Indians. So this is right when the last ice age happened. That's what we call the indigenous people that were here during that time.
Maybe our listener, Nick, could...
Yes. Shout out to Nick.
Jump in here and explain some of the biology of the...
Yeah, if he has comments, he will include a voice memo in the next episode to have him verify what we are saying. But yeah, so you have these Paleo Indians that came up north, like came north once the glaciers receded. There's evidence that these were spiritual sites, also likely a good vantage point. So you have warring indigenous tribes likely will like the cliffs to be able to see who's coming, how many people are coming. And it's just also an easy path to travel in the state. So it makes sense for possibly spiritual, but also just strategic points that these would be places that settlements would deem important. But the stone itself is also very important because it's limestone, which built a lot of the state and a lot of the state's structures, whether that be homes, churches, or other structures.
A lot of quarries still operating on the escarpment in this part of the state.
Yeah. And so then the cliffs themselves are protected, so nobody can go and mine the cliffs in Peninsula State Park. But the escarpment runs deep, I believe. So you can still kind of mine while still preserving the structure on the outside. High Cliff and Lake Winnebago also have their cliffs preserved. And then I mentioned again the burial mounds. And then the escarpment goes down, like we said, further southeast Wisconsin, but it's buried beneath the ground. You also have Lime Kiln Park in Menominee Falls.
For anyone who's not familiar with High Cliff State Park, it's in Menasha, Wisconsin. State Park, also very, very pretty. A lot of neat hiking trails there and a lot of very pretty landscapes.
So if any of you ever need recommendations on state parks to go visit, you should contact my dad because he knows them all. But there's Lime Kiln Park in Menominee Falls. So this is north of Milwaukee. It's where the Menominee River originally existed, and you can still see the remains of lime kiln and like former limestone quarries there. So some of them have kind of shut down, but there are still quarries operating today. Do you know where that is?
What one?
Lime Kiln Park in Menominee Falls.
Nope, I have not been to that one.
Well, we should do that since that's not that far from...
I don't think I eclipse in Menasha. Near Menasha.
Somewhere over there.
It's in that area.
But, and then this will bring us into our next topic. In Milwaukee near Miller Park, there are cliffs that exist near the stadium, which is, well, I said Miller Park. It's technically American Family Field, but we're going to refer to it as Miller Park because I'm a true Wisconsinite. But so the Southwest Stadium, if there's part of the parking lot, is part of the escarpment. But that part of the escarpment contains prehistoric coral reefs. Did you know there's coral reefs in Wisconsin?
I did not know that.
Well, we're going to talk about it. Because Wisconsin used to be covered by a shallow tropical sea 400 million years ago. There used to be a sea right here. Which is really weird, because we're not close to any sea now.
No.
But, no. You got anything else on that?
Just no, other than there was also, there's coral, from a coral sea that they mine stone in, like, Wyoming, in that area.
So I guess not the only state
because I used to buy some of the stone. I had a little...
fossils.
Yeah, fossilized stone.
Yeah.
With shells and stuff in it, seashells from Wyoming.
There's some of that in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we used to have a tropical sea. So there's two major reefs. There's Soldier's Home Reef, which is the one that's on, I don't know if it's the south part. There's in the parking lot, there's this big hill that they cannot expand on because these are protected. So when you're going into Miller Park, I think it's actually towards the north. So that's one. And then there's Shoemaker Coral Reef, which is another one, which is in Wauwatosa. The Soldier's Home one is where there's a wooded area around the stadium. So it reaches about 35 feet, and this is because it started getting cleared before they realized what they were clearing. So it used to reach about 70 feet high. But it's about 450 feet long. But the Shoemaker one, which we will talk about, has more evidence of ancient life. So this one has evidence of quarry. The Shoemaker one has, like, actually giant fossils still in it that they were mining and kind of protecting.
Really?
Yes. Actually, I think some of them... Oh, what's that museum? The Fields Museum down in Chicago?
Yeah.
I think some of them got sent there for preservation purposes. The Shoemaker Reef, which actually comes out of a quarry, because they were quarrying the material before they found it. Or is it Schoonmaker? Because I say Schooner. And this is like the same way you spell it.
Schoonmaker. That's like a schooner, yeah.
Schoonmaker? See, I can't pronounce schooner, and I can't spell Schoonmaker. Anyways, it existed north of State Street and spans from 62nd to 68th, which actually isn't too far from me. And it's a reef that existed in North America hundreds of millions of years ago. It's obviously now fossilized. We do not have a sea nor an active coral reef in Wisconsin. But the first reef was defined, or they found it, in 1862. Similarly to the Soldier Field one, or Soldier's Home one, it was about 70 feet tall, and it was discovered as they began to mine the rock. But amongst the reef was a 7.5 foot long cephalopod.
Oh.
Which is, like, picture a, this is from the article I read, and quote, picture a squid stuck to a giant ice cream cone. And that is what this 7 foot long thing is.
If you don't know what a cephalopod looks like, you should look it up. But a 7 foot cephalopod is enormous.
Well, I'm 6'2". It'd be bigger than I am.
Well, right. But what I'm saying is that most fossilized cephalopods, at least the ones that I have seen, are a big one is 4 inches.
Yeah.
You know, a 7 foot cephalopod would be
big.
That would be a big cephalopod.
Yeah, so they have found 200 different marine species in these coral reefs. And I'm sure they haven't quite But they have not, like, gone through this entire coral reef, because now it is preserved as a historical marker since 1997. But just from the different species they've found, you know, exploring the outer parts of it, 200 different species.
How do I not know this?
I don't know, Dad. You've lived in the state longer than I have. Which then will bring us to our subcontinental divide, sticking with the southeastern Wisconsin area. So fun fact, there is a ridge between Waukesha and Milwaukee County. Actually, I think it's in Waukesha, but it's near that border between the two counties, which is termed the subcontinental divide. And this ridge itself was created 10,000 years ago. And it's part of the larger Great Lakes Basin boundary, which includes Michigan, parts of Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, which I think is kind of the same thing as the Niagara Escarpment to an extent. Like, it's the same basin we're talking about. But what happens is the basin, which is the Great Lakes, holds 84% of North America's fresh surface water, which is a lot.
Well, now consider this. If the Great Lakes, if the basin had not been broken up into smaller chunks, which are now the Great Lakes, imagine, what did you say, 84%?
Yep.
All in one big place. Basin. You know, if you took all of the water in all of the Great Lakes.
Okay, so if it had not been broken up, you have 84% of the world's water.
Fresh water.
Well, surface fresh water. So, obviously, people can get water through wells and stuff.
In one basin. One, basically, enormous lake in the middle of North America.
Yeah. I mean, you already have arguments over the Great Lakes. And they're divided up amongst each other. Which is what we're going to get into. That's the only reason we really care about the subcontinental divide. It turns out it's politics. but it's 21% of the world's. So almost a quarter of the world's fresh water comes from the Great Lakes. At least the surface level. Yeah. So what the subcontinental divide is when the water falls on this ridge, if it goes to the east, it will enter Lake Michigan in the Great Lake Basin. It'll flow into, you know, Michigan to the other Great Lakes, eventually to the St. Lawrence River, and then from the St. Lawrence River into the North Atlantic Ocean. Now, if you fall to the west of the subcontinental divide, then it will be connected to the Mississippi River, and it will flow all the way into the Gulf of Mexico. So it kind of has, like, the waters going two different places, right? And so where the politics comes into this, because, you know, you gotta politic everything, is in 2008, there was some sort of act created by Congress. It was the Great Lakes St. Lawrence River Basin Water Resource Compact, and included 8 states which border the Great Lakes, including Wisconsin. And the controversy came because there was a huge influx in the population in Waukesha County. And so, as we mentioned, most of the water that falls in Waukesha County is actually going into the Gulf of Mexico. And so there was, like, arguments of whether or not they had a right to the water that's on the Great Lakes because of this subcontinental divide. So they
because
were...
their water, rainwater, wasn't going into the Great Lakes.
Yes.
Nice.
And so eventually, this was solved in 2016, where it was agreed that Waukesha would import 8.2 million gallons of water from Lake Michigan, but then they would have to make sure the water was returned to the Great Lakes through the Root River. So there was this huge study done to figure out where the water was going in Waukesha so it would end up back into the Great Lakes.
Well, how do they do that?
Studies? I don't know. I'm not the scientist.
Well, but how do you control the water once it falls? They build canals to route it?
But they're saying, like, the water that's treated. So they're importing the fresh water for, like, drinking.
Oh, they're treating it.
Yes, so then they're treating it, and then they're deciding where it goes back to. So they're making sure that an appropriate amount of the water doesn't end up, like, into the Mississippi River and into the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay.
They got to make sure it goes back to the Great Lakes so then it can be a renewable resource thing. So, yeah.
Otherwise, then people in Waukesha would be stealing our water.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Now, they're known to be water stealers down in Waukesha.
But yeah, and then, which isn't really that impressive because it runs through multiple states, but Wisconsin is also part of the 45th parallel. So we are halfway to the North Pole, at least in like Door County and parts of northern Wisconsin, is part of the 45th parallel. So if you ever want to be halfway to the North Pole, just drive a couple hours north.
The beauty of being halfway to the North Pole is it's really cold in the wintertime and hotter than a blister in the summertime. We're so lucky.
Yeah, that's how that works, Dad. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
All right. Any final comments on the geography, Mr. Have lived in Wisconsin and gone to all the state parks?
No, other than if you have not seen the Wisconsin State Parks, and if you have not seen some of the geography that we talked about, not only can you go on the interwebs and look at pictures, but get your butt out there and see some of this stuff. It's pretty cool. We live in a very pretty state.
Wait, okay, so before we end this, Dad, what would be your first recommendation? If somebody is going to a state park, what was your favorite?
Boy, I really like the bluffs along the Mississippi River in the La Crosse area.
Yeah.
I think that's probably some of the prettiest views in the state.
Yeah. I mean, I like Peninsula, although I will say I like Pottawatomie in the sense that it's a lot less traveled when we visit. Was it Pottawatomie or was it Newport?
Newport is very underused as a state park and is very pretty also.
But you can find kind of a little bit of both. But yes, definitely go out and see the different parks. And if you have a suggestion for next episode, you can get a shout out if you make a suggestion. And I use the suggestion, which I will, because I love my fans.
And thanks again to
Hadley, who did this recommendation. And if you have not already, check us out on Facebook and Instagram for Badgerland Journal, or send us an email at badgerlandjournal@gmail.com. And we will see you next time. Merry Christmas to everyone.
See you next year.